It was just announced in the press box that the start time of the game is uncertain, which means that 9 minutes and 8 seconds from now, they will officially be in a rain delay. And we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know if there will be baseball tonight. But we do know they are going to start as soon as possible, whatever that means. There have been predictions that maybe 9:15 Eastern time. There have been predictions that maybe it's just going to keep raining all night. According to the weather forecast that we have, and we know that those are unpredictable, unless, of course, you're listening to one of the green stations along the Rogers Network that has a weather guarantee. There is a 50% chance of rain from this point on throughout the night. So it's raining now. We don't know if or when this game is going to start, but since it's raining, that means we throw open the phone lines and we have a rain delay program. So the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. If you're one of those fine folks who has a tough time getting through to this program, well, we're up against Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, so there will be lines open. And this is also, it's an unusual time to take calls for us. So give me a call, whatever you want to talk about, baseball or Blue Jay related, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Tom Young tells us, via his Twitter, at TomYoung590, that the tarp anchors are being removed right now at Target Field, the little pegs that they put in, which means that maybe the tarp's coming up soon and maybe they're going to start soon, which would be great. Until then, again, we will take your phone calls. It's Mark Burley against Trevor May. It's a battle of left-handed pitchers. Burley, 5-4 with a 5.13 ERA, but pitching much, much better lately. May, 3-3. With a 4.95 ERA to start the season. One of the youngsters that they hope for wonderful things from, and I said it's a battle of lefties. Not true. May's a righty. Sorry about that. I get him confused with another Trevor. Or maybe it's Travis Wood. I don't know. I get him confused with some lefty. Let's put it that way. But when they do go, well, the Blue Jays are up against a first-place team. Minnesota's tied with the Kansas City Royals. Actually, Minnesota was tied with the Kansas City Royals going into action today, but Kansas City did beat the Cubs 8-4 this afternoon. So the Twins are no longer a first-place team. They're half a game out. And then the Blue Jays go to Washington, and the Nationals are in first place in the East, and then the Houston Astros come to town. It's guaranteed that by the time Houston comes to Toronto, they will still be in first place, even if they don't win between now and then, because they've got that big a lead in the National League West. So the beginning of a pretty tough run for your Toronto Blue Jays while they're going through a tough time themselves. But reinforcements are coming. Devin Travis had his first rehab game today. He was a DH and the leadoff man for the Buffalo Bisons in their 2-1 loss to Rochester in the first game of a doubleheader. He went 0-for-4. Deonner Navarro caught for a second time and went 0-for-3. And Navarro will DH in the second game while Travis sits. And hopefully Travis will be able to play tomorrow and Sunday and then join up with the Blue Jays in Washington when they take on the Nationals. And the television side, they just showed the board in the Blue Jays clubhouse that talked about the satellite picture that they got that said the rain will diminish at about a quarter to the hour for an hour before it starts to pick up again. And with a one-hour window, I don't know if they're going to bother starting the game, but we shall see. One hopes that there will be baseball, especially because the Blue Jays, you know, tend to do awfully well in Minnesota. Specifically, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. Bautista at Target Field in 14 games is a 356 hitter with a 1390 OPS. 11 home runs in 66 plate appearances. Not at bats, plate appearances. So once every six times up, he's hit a home run in Minnesota, and that augurs well. And you remember the first year the Target Field opened where people were talking about how it was impossible to hit home runs there, and it was just so terrible for hitters. The Blue Jays were one of the last teams to come in, and they just torched the plates. I think Edwin hit five home runs in a three-game series. Told you Bautista's numbers at Target Field. What are Edwin's numbers like at Target Field? Well, in 16 games there, he's a 357 hitter with an 1144 OPS, six homers in 67 plate appearances, so one every 10. He loves to hit there, and it'd be nice to get him all waking up and stuff. And Bautista loves to hit there too. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll take your calls. We'll chat about the Blue Jays. And we will keep you updated on all the weather goings on down there in Minnesota. Also, a note from that Bisons game. Ooh, how about this? Tom Young tells us that they have announced an 8:10 Central approximate start time, which would be just over an hour from now. So it looks like we will be taking your phone calls for an hour. And maybe we'll also dip in and hear from Bill Stoneman, former general manager of the Montreal Expos, general manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He was a pitcher who pitched a no-hitter within the first fortnight of the Montreal Expos' existence. He had two no-hitters for the Expos, and the first one came in the first 10 days of the franchise. How amazing was that? Blue Jays had to wait till their 14th season till they finally got one from Dave Steeb, who came so tantalizingly close other times. We'll hear from Bill Stoneman a little bit later on in the rain delay program. But right now, let's get to the phones. Again, we are told that they'll get started in an hour. 9:10 Eastern, 8:10 Central, which is good news. There will be baseball tonight in Minnesota. Let's begin on the rain delay program. Matt in Milton, you're going to be the leadoff man. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Quick question. You know, with the Jays leading the league in runs and, you know, still sitting, you know, a handful of games below 500.
Yep.
Would you rather they stay the course or, you know, trade in some of those big bats for some pitching?
Well, you can't trade the big bats for pitching. That's the problem. Right? I mean, first of all, you're with me. You're not trading Josh Donaldson, right? You left? Oh, he left. Sorry, you didn't get the answer you wanted, I guess. Here's the thing. You're not going to trade Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson is here for the next 4 years, 29 years old, one of the best players in the game. So if you're going to trade a big bat for pitching, it really leaves Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion. Now, ignoring the fact that they're on incredibly team-friendly contracts, they're going to be free agents at the end of next season. They have options for 2016, but that's it. So they will both be free agents at the end of next season. And if you want pitching and helpful major league pitching, top flight major league pitching, well, a rebuilding team is not going to be interested in Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion unless they can flip him somewhere for prospects. And to get a three-way deal, it's going to be exceedingly tough. But the teams that would be interested in Bautista and Edwin are not the teams that would be interested in giving up pitching off their roster, good pitching off their roster, which is why it makes it a very, very difficult trade to make. Regardless, I think that you can't really spare the bats. It does seem like it's a surplus, but we've seen enough games where they struggle to score a couple of runs that it's never enough. You never have enough pitching. You never have enough hitting either. If someone's going to offer me a legit big-time ace for Jose or Edwin, I have to really think about it, that's for sure. And maybe even do that. But that's not a trade that's forthcoming. Because nobody that has one of those is going to want to give them up for that. They're going to want a boatload of kids, prospects, all this stuff. Harry in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're on the rain delay program. Harry, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I was telling you about John Gibbons. No matter if you get Kershaw or Baumgartner, Gibbons will never win with anyone. He's a minor league coach.
Because?
He's a second-time failure, and they still keep this guy going. He's a last-place team, and you're not saying anything about firing him.
But you still haven't told me anything that's within his control that he's doing wrong, which would warrant him getting fired.
He can't manage his team. He got a lineup. He's flip-flopping them every single game. There's a different lineup. They're positioned in different positions.
But isn't that based on necessity?
But is he a good coach? Does he have anything to prove?
I think he's an excellent manager.
The only place that gave him a chance was Toronto, and he hasn't won anything in 7 years.
Yeah, but the only place that gave, you know, Joe Torre a chance was Atlanta, and he didn't win anything for a few years. And the only place that gave Terry Francona a chance was Philadelphia, and he didn't win anything for a few years. And the only
he got 2 World Series. What has the guy got? Nothing.
Who's got 2 World Series?
Francona.
Well, yeah, but he it took him a long time to get there.
That. Another point is.
Yeah. So far, by the way, you've told me nothing except that John Gibbons hasn't managed a playoff team. But
okay, you're a John Gibbons fan. Another thing is, why don't they replace you on the sports on that with Jerry with this guy Campbell from there? Every time the radio comes on, I turn you off.
Except you're calling me now. That's awesome. That might have been the best call ever. I don't think Jamie wants the job. Jamie's happy doing TV with Greg Zahn. Look, people, you're welcome to call me and tell me that the Blue Jays should fire John Gibbons or should fire Alex Anthopoulos. That's fine. I disagree, but if you think that's what needs to be done, you just got to give me a reason. That's all. A reason. Something that a manager can control that he's doing wrong. That's all I ask for. And so far, nobody's been able to give that to me. I mean, there's a good chance we disagree on what a manager can control and what he can't. But just tell me why he's a bad manager without, well, they haven't been to the playoffs. That's all. I don't ask for much. Honest. Rain delay program, Blue Jays and Twins, hopefully will get underway at 9:10 Eastern, 8:10 local in Minneapolis. Till then, we're taking your calls. Doug is in Sudbury. Hello, Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. I got a question. Honestly, the last guy I think was crazy. I like Gibbons a lot. Anyway, that's my take. Quick question for you about Daniel Norris. Obviously, right now, with the five-man rotation, they're doing pretty well. Like I think the last couple of starts have done fantastic in a lot of ways. What do you think the prospects of him coming back this year are into the rotation? Would that be more like a September kind of call-up?
Oh, well, no. It's too early to say that, for sure. I think they want him back relatively quickly, but he has to start pitching better. And he had a solid start last time out on Wednesday. 2 runs on 7 hits and 6 1/3 innings, but he still walked 4.
Okay.
But the time before that, it was 4. He walked the first 3 batters he faced and 88 pitches, and he only got through 4 innings. So those are the kind of things they need to see improvement on. I think what they need to see is three or four good starts in a row, and once that happens, he'll be back.
So you're thinking the pen then, I guess, when he comes back, right?
No, I think he goes to the rotation when he comes back, and Estrada will go back to the pen, assuming that everybody's, you know, still healthy. But, yeah, no, they want him back in the rotation.
Nice, okay. Cool. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't think we're resigned to the fact that that when Daniel Norris comes back, he's going to the bullpen or anything like that. Tarps come off the infield in Minnesota, so that's great news. And again, we have a start time about 55 minutes from now. We'll take your phone calls for a while, and then we will get to the starting lineups. No real surprise in the Blue Jays lineup. And you look up and down the Minnesota Twins lineup, it's very difficult to imagine that this is a first-place team or half a game out of first place in the American League Central. But, yeah, it is. They're off to a fantastic, not start, but a great run. They started the season 1-6. Since then, they're 27-12. How about that? The Minnesota Twins. Jamie is in Kitchener, listening on 570 News, I'm going to guess. Welcome to the rain delay program, Jamie.
Hi, Mike. I'd like to talk about player development.
Sure.
I think it's the biggest problem organization-wide, top to bottom. Like, I mean, when Brett Laurie came up from the minors, he wasn't developed as far as being focused.
Focused.
I think, yeah, player development, because I think the Blue Jays, over the last 5 years, now I'm saying player development is bad, and it's on AA and Paul Beeston, but I'm scared to death that they might move AA, because over the last 5 years, MLB-wide, I think AA has procured the most talent for his team MLB-wide. I'd love to keep this guy, and all we need is someone to help in the player development department. When he got Donaldson and Martin, that was a fantastic move. I didn't see that on the radar. I didn't think that was our, you know, our problems, our holes. But he went and got them. He even knows that he needs player development. But the problem is he has to go out and spend money hand over fist on guys. If we had better player development, I think it would start with a stronger manager, a guy who can develop players at the major league level, and that is important. You say they should come up developed. Well, when they don't come up developed, you need somebody that can develop them, and those guys are out there too. I'm thinking, Lewicki, he went and fixed the Leafs.
Yeah, fixed them good.
Like, his wife doesn't like the Toronto Winters. Beeston's on his way out. Let's see if his wife likes the Toronto Summers and see if... see if he wants to run the Blue Jays. I hope we don't get rid of Anthopoulos.
First of all, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, Jamie,
mm-hmm.
it is awesome that you believe that Tim Lewicki fixed the Maple Leafs.
Right.
This is a team that, in a league in which half the teams make the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Has not been in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
when they play a full season for a decade. Mm-hmm. There is zero indication that this team has been fixed. But yeah, anyway, well. Beyond that,
can I just say one thing?
About that, sure, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the Leafs was player development as well. They got lots of talent. They had just no player development, and Nonis was the biggest problem there.
Okay, I need to know more about what you feel is player development, because I don't see the same things that you see at all as far as the Blue Jays are concerned. I don't see where they've had young players come up and fail and fail and fail.
I'm not talking talent.
I'm not talking about talent either. I'm talking about if your players come up and, you know, do sort of what they're supposed to do, the ones who come through your system, Stroman and Sanchez being the latest examples of that,
mm-hmm.
where's the issue? Well, when you say Brett Laurie wasn't focused, means nothing to me.
Yeah, Brett Laurie. He was focused when the ball came off the bat. He was focused on getting the ball. He was focused while he was making plays. It was after the plays. Like, I like the way Donaldson and Martin this year when the guys are doing the stir in the pot thing, they're downplaying it and keeping the guys focused, you know, like
not celebrating
things that, you know, are unimportant. Like Reyes and Lori used to do, they'd be down 7 runs in a game and down 7 games in the standings. They'd make a almost routine double play and celebrate like they just won the World Series or something. When, you know what, there's lots more work to do. And, it's just the wrong kind of focus. It's spending energy not towards anything that's important. And
they're doing the same thing now with the stirring the pot as they did with the Loviste stuff 2 years ago. The exact same thing. And because you perceive, because you want to like Donaldson and Martin, you're saying, oh, they're downplaying it. But they're not. They're doing it exactly the same as Lori did it, as Reyes did it, as Bonifacio did it. It is exactly the same.
Okay, well, I disagree with that.
But how?
I seen Donaldson get a double one time, and the bench was doing the stir of the pot thing, and he just didn't even put one hand under. He just did one quick rotation with the finger, like, okay, guys, you know what? We still got stuff to do here.
Yeah, that stuff is so meaningless in the overall aspect of everything.
We disagree on that, like, so vehemently.
Yeah.
That stuff is very important.
It really isn't. It isn't. It has no bearing on the next guy trying to have a strong at-bat, trying not to get out, on teams trying to win. It's them having fun, which you need to do when, you know, you're playing 162 games in 180 days. You can't, you know, your job's done. You got your hit, you're on base, you get a second to exhale. Have a little fun. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. The other part of player development, well, there's lots of parts anyway, but, you know, holding guys accountable. That goes as far as filling out the lineup card. Guys who, you know, need a rest or need to work on things or something. Reyes, for example, last year when they lost that streak and he, you know, should have been taken out of the lineup. You've got to use the lineup card to send a message. And that has to go to everybody, not just, you know, the biggest bonehead move Gibby made last year was pinch hitting for Pilar with the bases loaded. When this guy came up as a bat and here was his one chance to shine, and he goes and pinch hits Ghost for him, Anthony Ghost.
Yeah, like because they were platooning. Because Kevin Pillaro was hitting about .180 against.
Is the guy you pinch hit for?
No,
you don't put Anthony Ghost in to pinch hit.
You do though. I just,
when you say something's baffling you, when you don't know why things aren't going right, why this talent isn't winning, and then you say things like that kind of stuff doesn't matter. Well, that's why you're baffled, because you don't think this stuff matters.
No, because it doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't matter with any other team in the major leagues, and it doesn't matter here. And, you know, Kevin Pillar.
It matters in every sport. It matters in every business. It matters in every walk of life.
Yeah, maybe to an extent, but not that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, you got to be happy when you go to work. A happy worker is a more productive worker, all that stuff. But I think a caller like that, that's the kind of attitude that I mean, it's just a complete opposite of everything I believe about baseball. Everything. And that's part of the myth-making culture and the hero makers. And, you know, these guys are tough and focused and they're superhuman. And they can will themselves to greatness. Yeah, you can't in baseball. You can't. And I'll use the example that I've used many times. If a guy could get a hit, if there was someone who was that strong of will and that fierce a competitor that when they absolutely needed him to get a big hit, he would get a big hit. If anyone like that existed, don't you think that maybe once in the history of this game, someone would have hit 500 with runners in scoring position? Maybe once? Don't you think maybe there might have been some guy hitting 400 at some point in time over the last 75 years? That's still getting out 60% of the time. It just doesn't work that way. There's a reason that there's an adage in baseball that says try easier, because trying harder doesn't work. It's not hockey. It's not football. It's not basketball. You never have the opportunity to take possession away from the other team. Everybody gets their turn and everybody gets their 27 outs. Wanting it more than the other guy, unless the other guy is just completely checked out and doesn't care, doesn't make a difference in this game. And I know a lot of people are tearing their hair out listening to that right now. And I'm sorry, but when you're playing a sport where everybody gets their turn no matter what, that's the truth. Blue Jays and Minnesota Twins are in a rain delay. We're expecting the first pitch sometime in the next 45 minutes. Until then, it is the rain delay program. And Mike is in St. Catharines and listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Great speaking with you.
Oh, thanks.
I just want to comment on the season so far. I mean, it's a long season, everyone. The previous couple of years, we've started on fire and we've kind of flamed out towards the middle of the season. And,
not the year before.
Yeah,
the year before that, they were awful at the beginning.
You're right. But rolling into like about a third of the season, like I wouldn't be surprised if we caught fire during the last half. And I'm kind of actually pumped about the last half of the season. We're only a few games out, and I think we're going to have some meaningful baseball in September. I'll stay on the line, and we'll comment on what you have to say.
Well, I hope so. I certainly think that this, like I said in the spring, I think that the team is talented enough. I'd like to see the team they planned on having, which is going to be still a month or so away until they get Michael Saunders back. But, you know, by the end of middle of next week, you should have almost everybody back.
But
there's no reason that this team should lose more games than it wins.
I totally agree. And I think just we've had some luck go against us a little bit. And kind of law of averages. I feel like we've been a little bit unlucky towards the beginning of the season here. We've been a lot of close games, a lot of games we've lost by one run. I really feel that it wouldn't surprise me if we just kind of turned it around at the last half. I mean, there's been some seasons where I've been hoping going into the All-Star game that like we're not like losing by 10 games. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to be right there at All-Star break. And, Batista hopefully is going to be healthier. It's a long season. I think we're positioned in a way that we can make a strike. And I just want to tell your Blue Jays fans out there, just keep the hope. I'm actually pretty excited about this year still.
But it's so much more fun to complain.
Well, I don't think there's anything to complain about, though. I mean,
we aren't
playing the best baseball we should be, nor are the other teams in our division, and we're still right there.
Yep, it's true. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. And yeah, it as much as it is a lot more fun to complain, the truth of the matter is they're not even a third of the way through the season yet. They're playing. They haven't had a good run yet. And they're right in the thick of the race in the division. Now, that is thanks to the rest of the division being crap. That's for sure. But they haven't had a good run yet. And it's in there. It just has to happen. No, there's no guarantee that it will happen, but there's really no reason for it not to happen. We shall see, and we shall continue to take your phone calls right up to the top of the hour. The Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins are in a rain delay, but right now they are saying that the first pitch will fly at 9:10 Eastern Time, 8:10 Central, 6:10 Pacific. and we'll have it all for you. More of your calls coming up. It's a rain delay program on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Baseball Control in Toronto. Mike Wilner here with you. It is the rain delay program. The Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins hoping to get going. And the first pitch is scheduled to fly in about 37 minutes. They're saying 8:10 Central Time, which would be 9:10 Eastern Time. And we will have baseball in Minnesota. They are having baseball in Philadelphia right now. And would you look at this? Chad Bettis of the Colorado Rockies is perfect through six as the Rockies lead the Phillies 2-0 on the strength of two solo home runs by Troy Tulowitzki. 18 up and 18 down have gone the Phillies. Bettis with four strikeouts. And we will be keeping an eye on that one as this evening progresses. Right now, though, we're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Usually when I change the extra innings package television over to a no-hitter or perfect game in progress, it ends immediately because, as we're all well aware, I am magic. But we're going to have to wait a little while because they're moving to the Rockies' half of the seventh inning. Reggie is in Pickering, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Reggie.
Hey, Wilner, how you doing, buddy?
All right, how are you?
I'm great. Love your show. My buddies from work and I, we die every time that you get in an argument with one of these dingbats that calls in. Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, let me
thank you for using
here.
"And I" correctly, by the way. Well done.
Thanks, man. Hey, listen, I wanted to go over this bat's shoulder injury.
Sure.
It's almost like he was disguising this thing or something. 3 weeks later now, we have this guy having a cortisone shot.
Well, we all knew about it, so he certainly wasn't hiding anything.
I know, but...
But yeah, I wonder too, why it took him so long to make the decision to have a cortisone shot. I mean, I think, you know, Jose Bautista, one thing about him, he is very definitely a really smart dude. He might be the smartest guy in that room in the Blue Jays clubhouse. And he's very aware of everything that's going on around him. And I'm sure very aware of everything that he's going to put into his body. So I'm assuming that he must have thought, with medical advice, of course, that the thing would resolve itself on its own and he'd be able to get back soon enough. And he wanted to, I guess he wanted to do as much as possible without that sort of intervention until it finally got too much to take.
Well, I think at the same time, he knows what he means to that clubhouse, right? He's the daddy of that clubhouse. So, you know, his presence does give a lot, you know, to that clubhouse. Also, I think that he might have felt it's something to do with his pride or ego. How'd he hurt the shoulder? Let's go back.
That was definitely an ego-driven move, for sure.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say, okay, I hurt myself doing this bonehead play, you know, trying to gun that guy out. To me, it was a little bit of half and half. What if he would have rested it this whole time?
If he would have rested it, they would have lost one of their best hitters for a month.
We've got lots of hitters, man.
Not enough.
Our problem is arms right now. Listen, let me run another one by you here. Michael Saunders is coming back.
In a month.
Colabello.
Yeah.
Pilosh. Pompezi waiting down in Buffalo. Obviously, Bats is waiting to get back into right field. What happens when Saunders comes back, do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, it's a month away.
Yeah. Tough call, though. What would be your call? Tough call, though. What would be your...
Who knows if it's... It may not be a tough call by then. You know, by then, Colabello may have well fallen back to earth and become a guy who is really a good DH option against lefties and not much more than that. He may not. Pilosh may still not be hitting. Dalton Pompey has got a knee thing right now, and he may still be struggling down in Buffalo. I'll tell you this, that out of all of the Blue Jays outfielders, Michael Saunders is the second best major league player among them. So when he's ready to come back, he's either the everyday left fielder or perhaps the everyday center fielder, depending on, you know, what's going on with Pilosh. And then they got to figure out the rest of the stuff.
I'm not feeling Saunders at all in center field.
Well, I'm sure they don't want him in center field either. But if Kevin Pillar is going to keep with the 8-for-60, they're not going to be able to keep running him out there for much longer either.
Yeah, no. Clearly, he's playing for a spot. He's out there. He's laying his body on the line every night. Listen, I wanted to run a trade by you. Since Bats is in this, semi-injured, quasi-injured state, why don't we package him with Dickey?
I think I got to let you go. I mean, it's too much laughter coming from behind you, and I'm a little afraid of what you might say next. So I apologize for that, but you got to get your buddies to control themselves a little bit more. But I appreciate the call for the most part. Not for the whole thing. I mean, that was very cromulent observations and questions, I have to tell you. And I dig the Pilosh thing. Anyway. Blue Jays and Twins are in a rain delay. First pitch is about a half hour away, and we're going to continue to take your calls until then. Is it Guy in Markham? Guy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. The Jays bats are obviously championship type material hitters, I think, this season. Absolutely. And their pitchers, although they've been pitching a little bit better lately, still a lot to be desired there, especially in the starting rotation. And I'm just wondering, and you've said it a few times, that this might be like a watershed year for Anthopoulos.
Yep.
Do you think he might make a move out of necessity of his own job?
No.
Over the team?
No, I don't think so. I've talked to him about that a few times, and you know, said, look, I've actually said to him, you know what the stakes are, and as far as your career is concerned, and he says no, his focus has to be short and long term, that he wouldn't do any sort of I don't want to say panic, but any sort of desperation move to sacrifice. Seriously sacrifice. I mean, sometimes you got to give up future to get present, right? But a move like you're talking about, like a save your job sort of move. I do not believe he would do something like that.
I think what's really frustrating is, you know, over the last, 20 or whatever years that they haven't made the playoffs, you keep hearing about these blue chip prospects that the Jays try to sell you on. And then in the last few years, I'll say one thing about Anthopoulos. I think his drafting and his team of scouting has been phenomenal with Syndergaard and Nicolino and Sanchez, unfortunately, and Stroman.
And unfortunately, Norris.
Pardon me?
And Norris and Castro and Norris, Suna and Hoffman. And
I just feel like the pitching is about three. I really feel like they had kept these kids. I mean, 3 years from now, we probably would have had one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. But
yeah, but they didn't keep them, and 3 years from now, they're still going to have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball.
Well, their pitching seems to be a little bit behind their hitters, obviously. And although I can understand what you're saying about Anthopoulos, at the end of the day, he's got to save his job. And I'm not saying he's going to make a savior move, because I don't even know if there's one out there for him to make. Hamels doesn't want to come here. I think the only guy really that they can trade that might, you know, they might be able to get something back from is Jose Reyes, because I'm fine with Goins playing defense, and they're both hitting about the same. Goins is out hitting Reyes right now anyway. So, I mean, I'll hang up and listen and have a good night there, Mike.
Yeah, you too. Goins is not out hitting Reyes. Ever. Goins is not out hitting me. I want to take a look and see where you're coming from with that. Yeah, no. Goins has a better OPS right now by 17 points over Jose Reyes. But there's no argument to be made that Ryan Goins is anywhere near the hitter that Jose Reyes is. And it's not... It's an opinion that is held by many that the Blue Jays should seek to trade Jose Reyes and just give the shortstop's job to Ryan Goins. And I don't think it's incredibly far-fetched. The only thing is Jose Reyes is 32 years old and has, at the very least, after this year, 2 years and $48 million left on his contract. And if you're talking right now, a third of the way through the season, he's got two and two-thirds years and, oh man, I got to do math again, $63 million left on his contract for what a lot of people would view as a diminishing asset. And he may well be a diminishing asset. He's certainly not worth that kind of money anymore. So I don't know how you're going to get big-time pitching for Jose Reyes. Even if you believe that Ryan Goins makes him expendable, I don't believe that. I think Jose Reyes is much, 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 much better than Ryan Goins. He's you a threat and a catalyst at the top of the order with hopefully defense that's better than it was last year. And it certainly has looked better at every point this season that he's played than it did last year. But again, almost 3 years left and $63 million left, at least. I don't see a team willing to give up. Like, the Mets need a shortstop in the worst way. But are they going to trade anybody? Harvey DeGrom, Wheeler, Syndergaard, those four young kids for Jose Reyes? No. And they love Jose Reyes in New York. If you can do that, do that. And do it with, you know, before Sandy Alderson has a chance to change his mind. But that's not happening. Adam in Hamilton. Hey, Adam.
How's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's going all right. How are you?
Good, good. So, okay, quick question, a little bit of a what would you do scenario. So the day game when Donaldson ties it up with that incredible home run, right?
Yep.
So makes it, I think, 3-3 or whatever. Yep. It was tied at that point.
Right.
So I think we only had one out, and
correct,
then it was Batista and Edwin next.
Yes.
Do you give those guys the go-ahead to just, like, they were obviously taking home run swings, like what appeared to me anyway. But
that's their swing.
What I know, but like,
they're power hitters.
Just like, I get that when Donaldson hit that home run,
he's a power hitter too. That was a home run swing too from Josh Donaldson, right?
100%.
Right.
So like, with one out, like, I don't know. It's just, Jose can, he knows how to take pitches. Like, he can get on base. I'm just wondering if you, at that point, it's tied. Do we make an attempt to get on base and put a little bit more pressure on the closer? Or
yeah, I think this goes back to what I was talking to that other caller about how hard that is, how difficult the game it is, how tough hitting is, and how you can't just get on base when you want to get on base.
Oh,
right?
No,
you're dealing with David Robertson. He's one of the best closers in the game. And the Blue Jays got him twice, which is an incredible thing. You've got Batista, who popped up an 0-1 pitch, so he just missed his pitch. And then Edwin took it to a full count before he got out.
Right, right.
Should they have been, trying to work a walk? Sure, but if the guy's not, you should never go up to the plate trying to walk. You should go up to the plate, and I believe this is true for every hitter. I mean, there are situations where you need to take a pitch or two. there are situations where if you're a weak hitter, you just want to see if you can doink something somewhere. And there are situations where you got a runner at third, a big runner at third, and two out. You feel like you just need to put it in the air. But at any other point in time, you know, you know what this guy throws. You know what he likes to throw. You know where he likes to throw it. He knows where you like to hit it. And that's part of the game, right? That's that intense matchup and that cat and mouse game. But look, you should be, every time you come up to the plate, you should be looking for a certain pitch in a certain spot. And if you see it, you should want to hit the crap out of it. Not necessarily big, you know, try to hit it 500 miles, but you should be trying to hit the ball hard somewhere, because the harder you hit it, the more likely the chance that it's not going to get caught, right?
Right.
If you go up trying to walk, you're going to find yourself probably down 0-2 or 1-2 and screwed. And if you go up, like, you know, just trying to hit a little nothing, it take you out of your game. Like, why would you ever ask Jose Bautista or Edwin to do that? And to Batista's credit, a lot of times with a runner on third and two strikes, if they're shifting him and he gets a pitch on the outer third, he will just poke it into right field through that hole.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, he comes up one out, nobody on in a tie game. Look for a pitch you can drive and drive it.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to hear your advice on that. So
yeah.
I was just thinking maybe a rally and get him on base again. But
you know what the best rallies are?
Home runs.
That's right.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you. And I guess I am magic. Perfect game's over. As soon as I mention it, why not? In the bottom of the seventh inning, an error by Troy Tulowitzki on a ground ball by the leadoff man, Ben Revere, results in the perfect game being over, but the no-hitter is still alive, and Ryan Howard just grounded out. So they're going to the eighth inning, and Chad Bettis still has his no-hitter. It's not a perfect game, but it's a no-hitter through seven, and the Rockies lead the Phillies by a score of 2-0. We will keep you posted on that. The Blue Jays and the Twins, a rain delay off the top, but the first pitch is expected in about 20 minutes. We're taking your phone calls on the rain delay program, and we're going to go out to Cambridge. Aaron, you're listening on 570 News, Aaron?
How are you doing, Mike? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
I've been reading a lot about, you know, possible trade scenarios and actually talking about Philly with this whole Cole Hamels deal. One of the things that I was reading is that Philly might be looking at stocking up on young hitters. And that just got me thinking, and I just want to ask it, and then I'll hang up and listen to what you think, what you say. I'm just curious, what is in the Jays' farm system? I know about a lot of young pitching, a lot of young arms, but what surplus do the Jays have in the farm system that they might be willing to move for somebody like a Hamels or a Cueto or whoever?
Well, you know that Hamels, the reports are that he's not going to waive his no trade to come to the Blue Jays.
Right. So
that's
specific to Hamels. And it just got me thinking about what is in the farm system in terms of depth, in terms of a surplus of a particular kind of position player or whatever. And I'm just curious, you know more about that than I do. And I'm just wondering if you could talk about, you know, again, the depth of the system and what the Jays might have and if they're able to swing a deal. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thanks. The Blue Jays pitching prospects are definitely ahead of the offensive prospects. I don't think there's any question about that. That's well known throughout the league. When you look at who the young players are who are highly thought of, you know, major league future-wise sort of thing, in AAA position player-wise, it's a little bleak. You've got Andy Burns, a third baseman that they just called up, and Dalton Pompey is still down there in AAA, who the Blue Jays definitely have high hopes for. You go down to New Hampshire, and in New Hampshire, you're looking at John Birdie that a lot of guys like, but I don't know that they see him as a high, high upside sort of guy. Dwight Smith Jr. is an interesting guy, but none of these players are kind of lights outy young prospects, and there's certainly no surplus anywhere because these guys are still all at a level where you don't know what you're going to get. You go down a little bit farther, and in Dunedin, there's Mitch Ney, who is one of the top young players, Matt Dean, J.D. Davis, who was their first-round pick a couple of years ago, Ramon Fields, who I love. Those are the Max Pentecost. Those are the guys, to me, who stand out the most. And those are the guys who teams will be asking about. But certainly there's no surplus. And certainly there's no one who's knocking on the door of the major leagues who a team would feel like they could be able to insert, you know, into their a major league ready young player who the Blue Jays would have available. Speaking of those Buffalo Bisons, by the way, they are now leading Rochester 4-2 in the second game of a doubleheader. They won the opener, or they lost the opener. Buffalo lost the opener 2-1. Deonna Navarro just tied the game with an RBI single. And then Matt Haig, a two-run single to give them the lead. So Navarro is DHing. He went 0-for-3 behind the plate in the first game of the doubleheader. He's 1-for-2 with that single and a strikeout. And Devin Travis 0-for-4 today. And the bad news is that Miguel Castro had to leave the first game with a hand injury, a right hand injury. Don't know what. The Blue Jays are sending him to see a hand specialist. That news is not good. And we'll keep you posted on that as we hear more information. Steve in Port Perry. Hello, Steve.
Evening, Michael.
Evening.
I don't know how you do it night in and night out with the negativity, but I thought I'd throw in some positive light here. We've got the best third baseman in baseball, certainly the best third baseman that the Blue Jays have ever had. We got a possibility of having the Rookie of the Year at second base. And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we have four or five young kids that could be possible great starters? And
or six.
Pardon?
Or six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the cap or the, I'm not too sure how that works out, but like you
there's
said,
no cap.
You got Donaldson.
They have a budget.
Sorry.
It's a budget.
Okay, on the budget. But then you've got Donaldson for 4 years signed
yep.
in. We've got these young starting kids. I think our general manager has done a great job, and I can't speak highly enough about Gibby and you and your show.
Oh, that's swell of you. Thank you, Steve.
I don't know how you do it, but, you know, this is the first time since the World Series years that you can honestly sit back and say this team in 2 or 3 years, and maybe even this year, the way the American League East is, but I think they've done a great job. We've got great young talent, and Donaldson, and the kid at second base, and I think we've got a great team. I just need a little bit of patience from the so-called fan base, and I don't know how you do it every night, brother. I don't know how you take these calls.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. Look, there are a lot of negative people out there, but they're tired of waiting. And this, everything you said is absolutely right about the future of this team. The future of this team looks phenomenal. By 2017, you could have a five-man rotation of Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, Daniel Norris, Roberto Osuna, and Jeff Hoffman. All making the minimum and all incredible young pitchers. And that doesn't even count Drew Hutchinson anymore. But it wasn't supposed to be about the future. And that's, I think, why people are upset. The Blue Jays were supposed to win these last 3 years. And they were a disaster in 2013. They fell short last year, and they're in last place right now. So I understand why people are negative. They don't want to win in 2017. They want to win 2 years ago. And they expected to win 2 years ago, so they're angry. Sometimes that's the way it goes. But the future is definitely bright, and Alex Anthopoulos has put together some phenomenal talent, and hopefully that's recognized upstairs. Take one more call before we go. It's Tom in Waterloo. I was complaining earlier that I don't get enough of Jeff Blair's regular callers. And so Tom in Waterloo dials us up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was doing some fishing on Schultz. I know he had a fastball, and I know they were working on a slider down there in Buffalo. Did he get it?
I haven't seen him throw one pitch.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find anything on the screens either. But yeah. And as for the last caller, I agree. And watch for Kansas City, people. Please look back 2 years ago. They were almost going to get rid of the GM, and then all of a sudden now they're the magic team. It just took that sixth, seventh year. Check their records, Mike, and you'll see. It's a long process to put a team together, and we're almost there.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. And you know what? This team could be good enough this year, one hopes. There's still a long way to go.
The division's helping.
Yeah, the division is doing them huge favors. Yep. There's no question about that.
Anyway, so if you hear anything on Schultz, let me know sometime.
All right.
I haven't been able to find anything, but if he's got that, he's got 97 to go with it, so we could be a sleeper.
We'll see. They're certainly looking for it. They're looking for that next Neil Wagner, someone to come up, grab the bull by the horns, move into a high-leverage, late-inning spot, and do well. And Bo Schultz got called up today. Scott Copeland got sent down yesterday. Copeland didn't get into a game in this most recent call-up because he came up to give him innings, and all of a sudden the starting pitching started going into the seventh every night. This has been a lovely rain delay program. I appreciate all y'all for giving us a call. I apologize to the bucket load of you to whom we could not get. We will more than likely have some Jays talk, some Blue Jays talk, after the ball game. It is supposed to start in 10 minutes. And we will get you out to the ballpark and give you the starting lineups and all that stuff coming up next. Thanks for sticking with us through the rain delay program. We appreciate it a ton. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.